In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear beloved in Christ, our token that the Lord's word is never broken. The prophets and apostles are to be kept together, as is the case for their inspired, inerrant writings. The prophets and apostles are to be kept together as the Almighty does his double work of tearing down and destroying, while yet, nevertheless, building up and making alive again. The prophets and apostles are to be kept together, clearly distinguished between, but never separated. And so it is with the one sacred text of the one prophet, Isaiah. No chopping up, no silly arguments of multiple authors editing countless fragments and pasting them all together in novel ways that actually rob the scroll of its divine character and intent. Isaiah 40 is deigned to be read and heard and inwardly digested in the context of the chapters that go before and the chapters that follow. One breathed upon by the Holy Spirit prophet, one sacred scroll, one eternal word of God. But with the revealed trumpeting of Nachumu, Nachumu in chapter 40, the inspired prophet's fingers play a different key as he moves from his tune that sounds out justice and righteousness to an unexpected melody that sings of justice and redemption. Because there is no possibility of the divine call for comfort, comfort, without first the divine call to repentance. There is no true life-giving pardon without an already impending and very real death sentence. Let the law lead, says Moses and Isaiah and John the Baptist. We're shown that already in Isaiah chapter 6. We are shown that with the first words of holy absolution. Upon this, your confession. And so in chapter 40, Isaiah, finding himself again before the heavenly council, records the accomplished all that it announces word that goes out to the broken, hopeless, sorrow-filled hearts and minds of those who believe that they have no more right to continue to call themselves children of God, to believe that they are true citizens of Jerusalem. At the coming of my redeeming word, says God Almighty, your time of mourning will surely end, because my justice serves my redemption. You are declared just by another's righteousness. By the perfect sacrifice, I will bring to pass. The prophet is witness to heaven's thrice word of holiness, followed by heaven's double word of comfort. Both most clearly revealed as the incarnate word blots out every dark misdeed, the sin of you and me and an entire rebel humanity. But each season of justice and righteousness and redemption in its own time. John and then Jesus. Advent and then Christmas. The killing of the law and then the sweet resurrection produced by the gospel. A drowning followed by the springing up of a new nature that trusts in the eternal word of Christ, trumpeted through the cleansed by the burning coal lips of heaven's appointed herald. All to change what only God can create out of nothing. Saving faith in what our old nature continues to believe is nonsense. Saving faith in the Lord's promise of a sacrificial substitute, given even for the likes of you. You see, the proclamation of Isaiah 40 is not simply Isaiah's own attempt to give some kind of encouragement to down-in-the-dumps exiles. Isaiah 40 is not some positive thought for today. Isaiah 40 is not some furry, inspirational pep talk with a cold nose and a wagging tail. Isaiah 40 is the undeserved yet sure and certain proclamation of Yahweh's heaven to the grass of a fallen humanity completely desiccated by the hot Sirocco wind of the Almighty's holy law. Because the grass and the flower of this dark and dying world do not need a pat on the head or a nice divine pick-me-up. No, we are in need of a truthful diagnosis of our pitiful spiritual condition outside of Christ. And with the true mirror of the Almighty's law, our excuse-making, our plea for another do-over, is silenced. No one can stand. No, not even one. Not even Isaiah, who in abject despair in chapter 6 cries out, "Woe is me! I am completely done in. I am as good as dead," as he prostrates himself before the Lord of the heavenly armies. "We are simply getting what we deserve," confesses the thief on the cross. God, through his word, does both his alien work and his proper work. His word convicts in order that he might create saving faith that sees not only God's holy righteousness and justice, but God's merciful and gracious redemption for can do nothing but sin humanity. That too good to be true redemption that is most clearly revealed at a place called the skull. And he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." The Lord's justice and righteousness serves the Lord's saving mercy and forgiveness. The Lord's undeserved grace unexpectedly appears and preaches faith and hope into terrified by the law hearts and minds, and a strange new trust is born. This is the gracious work of the Maker of heaven and earth as the does what it declares word of God comes to orphaned, dead as a doornail, children of Israel, and preaches life and hope and comfort, even when they find themselves in exile. Just as he did before terrified shepherds on a darkened hill outside of Bethlehem. Just as he did before a grieving crowd on a darkened hill outside of Jerusalem. Just as he does today for those wasting away because of the guilt of condemning thoughts, words, and deeds. "Be ye not afraid, for behold." The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of the Lord endures forever. That truth was graciously rediscovered by Luther and the Reformers as the Augustinian monk was mercifully saved from foolishly believing that he could somehow whip himself into shape. As the holy outside of oneself gospel of Christ was received in faith. Luther and Isaiah and each of us cannot make deals or silly promises or claim some exemption from the accusing law. We cannot simply ask the Almighty Lord of the heavenly armies for a reset. The damning effects of the holy word of God as it comes in the law cannot be dismissed away when sinful people are brought before it. While we are powerless to effect any redemption of our own, satisfaction still must be provided. Isaiah 6 and Isaiah 40 reveal the clearest of truths. Redemption, therefore, begins and ends with the Lord. He is the one who sacrifices animals in order to clothe condemned Adam and Eve. It is the Lord who seals a one-way oath with Abraham. It is the Almighty, the one who provides the substitute in the shrubbery. The Lord saves Israel by sprinkling them in the waters that save, by miraculously providing wilderness wanderers the food of angels. Isaiah and Luther and you and I do not finally figure it out. The bedrock of our redemption is not our aha moment, but the decision of the eternal one who sits on the throne to make satisfaction at the crucible of Christ's cross as he touches our lips and minds and heart with the red hot coal of his word. That same word, in with and under the water of the font, in with and under the bread and wine of Christ's altar. What did Isaiah contribute to the Lord's delivery of justice and righteousness and redemption? Simply his sinful lips to be cleansed and repurposed for a too good to be true message. A message the devil, the world, and our sinful flesh will never understand or put its trust in. Verbum Domini manet in aeternum. That's the original ensign of the Lutheran Reformation and the prophets and apostles and the continuing touchstone of our salvation. VDMIAE, the word of the Lord, stands forever. The entire scripture, the entire corpus of the prophets and apostles, the entire two-natured person of Christ, our Redeemer, forever. Isaiah 6 and Isaiah 40 are to be distinguished between, but never separated. And so it is with the law and gospel, with heaven's justice and righteousness and redemption, as resurrected to new life lips continue to confess, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. For from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. The true redeeming word of comfort proclaimed in this Advent season be to each of you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.